things where everyone's just in the loading position.
What are you mad? Yeah, they're hopping around and calling it levitating. Sue?
Refocus.
The others.
Romans 2. We're not the hearers, verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Let's jump ahead to Romans 7. We can't really understand Paul's shock here because we didn't grow up in the commandments per se. You know, we accept the ones that our parents thought we might want to, would be helpful. And so when he's Paul is saying in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin except by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And in Greek, it's like he was shocked. Now, we all have many experiences about this and with this, even though we don't know, you know, what the law is. We haven't learned the law. We think we know it, but if you could see in every aspect of the law, you'd see that the law would kill you every day. And so therefore, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to experience that. I got to continue on this struggle and this quest for self-seeking. And it's a holy quest, even. And so now he's going to explain this a little bit more in detail. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now, if you don't know that the law is spiritual, then none of what I'm going to say will make any difference. And if the law is spiritual, then even the stupid little laws that we have in our own head are trying to be spiritual, or they're a shadow of what really is spiritual. In all societies, this is true in every society. Every society, there are rules of behavior. There are things that you have learned all your life that are the graven images. They're writings on the wall of your mind that said, this is what I should do and this is what I shouldn't do. And then you have the molten images, which are your emotional response. And so the emotional response is either trying, they're either gold or silver or brass. The gold ones are the ones that will bring you in what you think are closer to the best kinds of self-realization. The silver ones that you have are the ones that will redeem you from your, what, you know, like I'm going to go work real hard for somebody so I can pay for my sins. Well, that's your own gold, that's your silver molten images. And then, of course, the brass ones are all your judgments. And the more judgments and the more condemnation you have for yourself, then the more you will judge down others. So these things are working all the time, and they are what define your true religion. And so, and it's a really stupid religion because it's not spiritual. It's just sort of trying to be spiritual. And every man that has ever lived since the fall has this. The graven images and the molten images. All, how many thousand times? Harry's got more graven images than anybody I've ever seen. And more molten images at the same time. He is so idol-filled. And see, now the brass one came into being. He had to show me his intelligence quotient.
Like
dealing
with Don Rickles here.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Or that which I do, I don't want to do. And what I want to do, that I do not. What I hate, that's what I do. Now, if there are none of you that have experienced what you hate, that's what you do, you're a liar. If you say you haven't experienced that. Because it's common to all men. It's the way of all flesh. So, if then I do that which I would not, or if I do that which I don't want to do, then you're doing something you don't even realize. You're consenting that the law is good. And people spend a lifetime trying to ignore it. Anybody know what I'm talking about in the private moments of your little lives when nobody's looking? It's common. People even write books to prove that it's not common to all. Margaret Mead goes to Samoa and writes this wonderful about the savage innocence. And it was all a lie. Or somebody else found some people over there and they were really neat people. And if I could just be with them, then... No. All right. Now, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, sin is a person. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in what can be seen and touched of me, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it. I cannot do even what I define as good. Now again, if you don't know this, if you still believe or still have conned yourself into believing that you can do that which you think is good, then this isn't the place for you. Go to Joel Osteen's church. You'll have a whole lot more. You'll feel better about yourself. But I'm talking to, if you are at a point, if you have that kind of honesty that says, it says what it just said. I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So what do we do? In order for us to live with ourselves, even knowing at some deep, deep level that this is true, that you can't do that even which you define as good, in order to live with yourself, you have to create straw men. Now, you have to judge other people down. This is a source of racism and all everything. I mean, you have to judge other people down in order for you to be able to live with yourself. Capisce? Anybody agree?
Find a scapegoat.
You're finding a scapegoat. And Gary, you're doing it now. You're really doing it.
You're really.
No, I'm just thinking about leaving.
Okay. Going to Joel Osteen's church?
I need a little self-esteem.
You're going to go to your happy church. Joy, joy, joy. All right, now watch. This is where it gets heavy. Mr. Josetta making fun of me again?
Again?
That's all she does. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, or want to do, I don't do. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that I don't want to do, it is no longer me that do it. Or I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, and this, if you never hear anything else in the entire book of Romans, hear this. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil, or the evil one, is present with me. Now, it's not good by anybody else's definition. It may be, somebody else may think it's foolish. But for you, in order to meet all of these graven images and the molten images and all of these things that are going on in your religion, in you as the temple of the living God, you've got to go through this. And so you try to do something. Well, I'll just do this little bit of good over here. But the moment you do, you find a law that is as certain as, or more certain than the sunrise. The moment you want to do something that you think is good, the evil one is present with you. Why? Because you haven't abandoned yourself to faith. This is the great fail-safe system in the human race, in the purpose of discipleship. And so you know, you can tell, you don't have to guess. All these people that have a plan that they think is really good or an agenda for the day that you really will feed on, what happens? The evil one is present with you. So this is what Paul was saying in Romans 2. You're in with us, because we are the Gentiles, with us, our conscience, or this conscience, meaning not what we think it means, but what Paul meant it, it's this it's excusing or affirming. It's not a conscience like the voice of God. It's a conscience of all of those little idols. So when you want to do good, the evil one is present with you. This is why. And you never, ever, ever think of abandoning yourself if you got a good idea. You can't possibly think of repenting from a good idea unless you know that unless you know that this is the fruit of it. The moment you decide you have something good, then the evil one is raised from the dead from his deadly head wound. And it may take, you know, hopefully now you've heard enough this enough so that it probably was probably won't take more than 24 hours. But you'll fall back into the pit. Everything is wrong.
When you were talking, I was thinking that you may actually, you know, if you say, helping a little old lady across the street is good. Let's take that for a Boy Scout example. You may actually help the little old lady across the street. It doesn't mean that people aren't helping little old ladies across the street, but do you resent the little old lady, and are you prideful about your your action. You know, it's like we just spoil it and corrupt everything we touch.
Right.
So it's we can't actually ever.
That's why the moment you think you're doing something good, you're not. The moment you think you're a disciple, you're probably not. The moment you think that you're praising God, I can bet, I can assure you, you're not. Can you understand that the mystery of God and the mystery of worship and the mystery of this gospel is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and your consciousness of it only pollutes it and makes it another instrument of your self-seeking?
A good example, that's the sheep and the goats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and an even better example is the wolf in the sheep's clothing.
A better example is Harry.
Yeah, a murderer who continues to serve as a priest.
A really good example is Oli. Now, the point of it is that's why repentance has to be constant. And that's why we can't ever believe that we're special or we're doing anything right. Then it just pollutes everything. And if But that's what it means. Let's go back to Romans 2 now. For the Gentiles, in verse 14, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, i.e. us, we're a good example right here. We are the Gentiles that have not the law. But when we do by nature or by instinct or better by Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory, because you've abandoned yourself, the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things that contained in the law, these having not the law are the law unto themselves. Why? Because the law is written in their hearts. That's what happened in the Feast of Pentecost. The seed, the sperma of God is your life. And now the fullness of that mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, of the adoption, of the placing of the fullness of the Son is in you, and it requires no time. The only reason time exists for you is because of your rebellion. Does this give flesh and bones to these scriptures?
Yeah, that conscious Christianity really is a.
It's just Babylon. It has nothing to do with God.
And that's what much preaching is about: being a conscious Christian, doing it. By design, by purpose.
But remember, the people that are listening to it from God's standpoint are like they haven't had the ceremony that we had last night for the coming of age. They're still children. If they've named the name of Christ, they're still. I don't care what they do with it. That's between them and God. But from the spirit standpoint, they're children. And we have children teaching children. We have infants teaching children in the church. And that's kind of goofy, but it doesn't mean they're not saved or they're not. That's not our business.
These guys are going to have a meeting today about.
You're going to sit in on it every once in a while.
They're going to have a meeting today about.
Stuff.
And then later this week, others of us are going to have a meeting about stuff. You show up, give what you have to give, listen to what others have to give, and whatever happens is what happens.
That's right. You just meet a need as it presents itself.
Because it may be that God wants to do something through that, but it's not like created in my image or your image.
No, I can't talk about it, but there was a great example of this, all this crap going on, and good news holding, and contracts and everything. And this person was able to cause her to see something that could never have happened, and that sanctified it from my standpoint, everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with what we thought we were doing. And it says nothing ever has anything to do with what we think it's doing.
Yeah. I was thinking back to the history of Trinity, all the good that we tried to do, none of it has ever worked at all.
No. And it's just stupid.
Yeah, and we enter in like even to this through a format, but we don't.
We certainly never tried to get it. I tried to talk them out of it. I mean, that's what we have to do. you can't ever try to sell somebody something. Then you're just appealing. You just become one of these cunning workmen. Except you're cunning workmen working for the idols of Babylon. No, this meeting today is mostly about, it has to do mostly with the evil one here and Kevin, the other evil one.
Evil number two.
Because it's about the website. And we got, some of the top people in the country, one of the top people in the country about this and knows about it. It's coming here for it. And we didn't have anything to do.
People besides me will be there as well.
Huh? Are you going?
Yeah.
Well, and it's about him too.
You and Steve.
You came up with a great new word this morning. I want us to use when it's appropriate. Bible on.
Bloom came up with this great image
for
a page that we're going to do in the door. Lifestyles of the Rich and Religious. But it's a camel sticking, trying to get through the eye of a needle as a cartoon. I just love it. Take it big, guy. I'm tired of talking. Oh, yeah. We need to have a can we do it right now?
First.